You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the report this week. My name is Alexander Alfano. For me, an inspiration and honor to bring you this weekly report, reminding you that the church is called to be the moral and the cultural conscience of the nation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." John 10, verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, we find, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25, verse 2. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, we read of the promise of God revealing hidden truths. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and tell you, and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know." Jeremiah 33, verse 3. The Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience, to preserve the rights of all Americans and all believers around the world to freely live out their faith. A weekly briefing on religious liberty news, trying to get behind the headlines with analysis, approaching the issues from a biblical Christian worldview, adhering to 1 Peter 3:15, and be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you. 1 Peter 3:15. We want to help you engage friends and family in meaningful conversations regarding matters of faith, religious liberty, aiming to equip you with some answers to some of the most important commonly asked questions. Religious freedom, a God-given right. A God-given right grounded in the fact that human beings are made in the image of God, endowed with reason, free will, and an eternal soul. America's founders knew that government had a duty, has a duty, a continuing duty to preserve that freedom for each person to follow his or her own conscience. In other words, religious freedom for the atheist, the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Jew, and of course, the Christian. The idea, brothers and sisters, is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls for Christ. Equipping ourselves to understand and better articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold and uncompromising, and always committed to God's Word as our guide. In a world of competing voices, the shifting winds of the culture, the world says celebrate your desires, but Jesus says deny yourself and follow me. The world says affirm yourself, but Jesus says repent and believe. The world will tell you, take pride in yourself. Jesus will say, boast in the cross. The world will tell you to live your truth. Jesus tells us that he is the truth. So what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who then can be against us? Romans 8:31. America 250. 250 years. America's birthday. July 4th. 250 years. Our United States of America turns 250 this year. Many are marking the occasion in their own ways, but I invite you to pause, reflect, and celebrate with the Religious Liberty Report not merely a date on the calendar, but a legacy, an American story. A story founded in the spirit of patriotism that has shaped our nation since 1776. And though America is not without her blemishes, she remains the freest, most prosperous, and most opportunity-rich society the world has ever known. A testament to the genius of our founders. And indeed, a miracle of divine providence. Having survived for 2.5 centuries, only amending the Constitution 27 times in those 250 years. The Bill of Rights, protecting our freedom of speech, freedom of worship, the right to assemble, the right to bear arms. These aren't just lines in a document. These self-evident truths are inscribed on our hearts by our Creator. Happy birthday, America. America is the only country founded not on a race, ethnicity, or nationality, but on an idea. Limited government. Because the founders of America believed, first and foremost, in liberty. America had become the freest country in the world, in world history. That is why France gave the Statue of Liberty to one country, America. And America has given more liberty and opportunity to more people from more nations than any country in world history. Yes, America. Yes, the same America that allowed slavery in half of its states. But every society in the world practiced slavery. What rendered America unique is that Americans killed one another in its bloodiest war to abolish slavery. And America eventually became the least racist, multiracial country in history. I read this from Dennis Prager, president of Prager University. Americans are decent people. Ask any visitor what they think of Americans, and they are likely to tell you how friendly Americans are. Of course, there are mean and bad Americans, and there are kind and good people in every country. But having traveled abroad every year of my life since college and to all 50 American states, and being sensitive to people's goodness and happiness, I have been continually amazed at the essential decency of the American people. Dennis Prager of Prager University. The story started 250 years ago, 56 ordinary men gathered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They were ordinary in station, farmers, merchants, lawyers, chaplains, shopkeepers, but extraordinary in purpose. You see, they had signed their names and pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Together, they would endeavor to construct a nation where the rights of the people would not be granted by kings, but ordained by a creator. They knew exactly what they were doing. By signing their names to the Declaration of Independence, they were signing their own death warrants. And as America prepares to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, it's important for us all to acknowledge the faith and the sacrifice of the signers of that Declaration of Independence. This will help us to understand more fully that this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and religious freedom. Almost all of the 56 signers of the Declaration were professing Christians. And all of them knew the risks for signing this miraculous document, which maintained that the 13 American colonies were free of British rule. In fact, 9 of these 56 would give their lives shortly thereafter. the 56 signers were deeply influenced by Judeo-Christian worldview, giving them the courage to sacrifice everything to establish freedom for this great nation. In fact, John Adams wrote in a letter to Thomas Jefferson in June of 1813, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe," said John Adams, "that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." John Adams, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson in June 1813. Remembering that the signers of the Declaration of Independence 250 years ago were deeply influenced by the Judeo-Christian worldview, by the Bible, believing that it was worth the sacrifice, knowing that signing America's birth certificate would be their own death sentence. As we celebrate America's 250th birthday, let us not forget the priceless cost of freedom and teach the next generation how to protect it. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, America 250. George Washington hoped that Americans would never forget God's role in the American Revolution. He said, quote, "I am sure that there never was a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States." He said this during his first term as president. Repeatedly, George Washington believed that God had intervened to rescue the American cause, what he called the sacred cause of freedom, and rescue this American cause from disaster, defeat. American liberty and independence, he believed, had been achieved by, quote, "the hand of providence," when the American Revolutionary War ended. In a triumph for America, there was a widespread belief among the American people and their leaders that God was responsible for the victory, and that the establishment of the United States of America was providential. There were public demonstrations of faith. They were routine, even, where the Continental Congress had called regularly for national days of, quote, humiliation, fasting, and prayer, and days of, quote, public thanksgiving and prayer. Throughout the Revolution, a Bible-based faith was not only the underlying foundation of American thought and culture, it was also the motivation that propelled American patriots into the Revolution and sustained the country in its darkest days. The slogan of the Revolution was, "Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God." There was a deeply held belief in American culture that obedience to the higher law of God, as revealed in the Bible, took precedence over the law of man. And whenever the two conflicted, the higher law of God would prevail. At the time of the Revolution, many Americans believed the British king and the Parliament were attempting to suppress American people and their God-given rights, their inalienable rights, and thus attempting to usurp the authority of God's higher law. Even the British recognized the faith-centered foundation of the American resistance. The Americans generally saw their quest for freedom as a righteous resistance to ungodly tyranny, as did David in the biblical account of his battle with Goliath. America prevailed against the might of the British Empire to win its freedom and its independence, and to become, in the words of George Washington, a place of refuge for the oppressed and needy of the earth. It did so firmly founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview, as a nation of people motivated, disciplined, and inspired by a Bible-based faith. It's a remarkable history, a uniquely American history. We too easily forget with all the distractions and the clutter of our 21st century information age, but the Bible-based faith of our founders, of this great country's founders, was a Bible-based faith. And this is largely neglected, even unknown generally to modern Americans. Our first president, George Washington, hoped, he wrote, that future generations should always look back to the American Revolution and see how the struggle, the triumph, and the birth of the United States of America were so critically influenced by faith. He wrote, "The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all of this that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith, and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge his obligations." George Washington, commenting on the founding of the United States of America. The Declaration of Independence, 250 years. I found this. There are three big ideas in the Declaration. One, that each and every one of us is equal. Equal in worth, equal, created in the image of God. Two, that all of us have inalienable rights given to us by God, and this is the key, not by government. And three, that the people of the United States have the right and the capacity to rule themselves and do so wisely. Know this, that in the 18th century, in 1776, these were incredibly radical ideas at the time. Political theorists and philosophers discussed self-rule, equality, and inalienable rights. England was struggling towards such a system and others, but these were ideas that were really completely at odds with the social, the political order of Europe and the world at the time. Every democracy that had come before had failed, and yet here we had these brave men and women and children who were willing to give it a go. Individuals, incredible individuals. There was nothing inevitable about the Declaration of Independence. It was a purposed divine plan, divine providence, tremendous sacrifice. The last line of the Declaration, they knew when they signed that Declaration that it was an act of treason and would be subjecting each and every one of them to capital punishment, being hung for what they had just signed. They had become hunted men. I want to read this from Rod Cragg's By the Hand of Providence, How Faith Shaped the American Revolution. He writes, "Washington's faith in the sovereignty of God, Providence, was a universal belief in early America. From Massachusetts to Georgia, the idiom of religion penetrated all discourse and underlay all thought. It marked all observances, gave meaning to every public and private crisis. American political thought at the time of the Revolution operated on a deeper meaning, a higher purpose, a constant regard for principles and religious ideas, based on a profound sympathy for the scriptures. The Christian tradition was the chief foundation stone of American intellectual development in the colonial era. Whatever differences in ways of life, whatever conflicts of interest separated the country gentry, the great merchants from the frontiersmen, the poor farmers from artisans and small shopkeepers, all subscribed to Christian tenets, and at least in theory, accepted Christianity as their guide. from the beginning, America was forged in faith, the Judeo-Christian worldview of the Bible. A few pages later, I found this, the Reformation of the 16th century. Emphasis on the authority of higher law was suppressed by three of the four leading world powers, Spain, Portugal, and France. But in England, however, the Reformation and its biblical doctrines took root and flourished. In fact, the first published translation of the Bible in English gave the common people of England personal access to the scriptures for the first time, and the country was transformed. English historian John Richard Green states that the whole moral effect was simply amazing. He later concluded, quote, "The whole nation of England became a church." And this translated into the American Revolutionary War. Here are some anecdotes framed as miraculous, how God's hand played a role in the American Revolution. 1776, the Battle of Long Island. After a major defeat on Long Island, Washington's army was trapped against the East River and faced potential annihilation. On the night of August 29th, a dense, unexpected fog rolled in, allowing Washington to ferry approximately 9,000 troops across the river in secrecy. When the British advanced at dawn, the Americans were gone. The crossing of the Delaware. In 1776, Christmas 1776, Washington's famous crossing of the ice-choked Delaware River on Christmas night, enabling a surprise attack on a garrison at Trenton, producing a crucial victory when the revolutionary cause was near collapse. Accounts emphasizing the narrow margin for failure, ice, weather, timing, often describe the clearing ice and successful crossing as simply providential, the hand of God, arguing that slight changes in conditions would have doomed the operation. Any careful student of the American Revolution will reach the conclusion that it was an improbable victory. Most improbable. Against the world's most powerful empire. Ill-equipped colonists in this new world, this harsh and hard new world, succeeded only through crucial, unexplainable weather events, strategic blunders by the British, and the deep faith of the founders of this nation, viewing the triumph as a profound miracle, the miracle of the Revolutionary War. As America prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, let's acknowledge the faith, the sacrifice of the signers, to understand that this nation was indeed founded on Judeo-Christian principles and religious freedom. The signers of the Declaration were professing Christians, knowing the risks of signing this document, a death warrant, really. 9. Giving their lives and never living to see the freedom for which they had pledged their lives. Believing that our rights do not come from the king, the crown, or even a decree of a government. Our rights are a sacred gift woven into our very being by our Creator. An impossible victory. Many impossible victories. This country surviving and coming to be born against all odds. Not a story of luck or lucky breaks, but When properly viewed from a biblical worldview, we see the unmistakable hand of providence, God's hand, guiding a flawed but a faithful people through the storm. This isn't just a birthday party for our country. It's a mirror for the present and a map for the future. Scripture reminds us in Psalms that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's a call to responsibility. A free people must be a moral people. Because you see, brothers and sisters, true freedom and liberty isn't doing whatever we want. It's the freedom and the duty to do what is right. Today, our nation faces new storms, deep divides, uncertain waters. Yet the same God who answered the prayers of an improvised army in the freezing winter of 1776 is the same God who guides us forward as a nation into the next chapter of this American experiment. Let us not rely on our own strength. Let us renew our covenant to justice, to mercy, and to walking humbly before our God. May we be a light on a hill that reflects His grace, His truth, and His love to a world that so desperately needs it. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on this journey through America 250 on the Religious Liberty Report. Jesus never promised us an easy path. In fact, He told His disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they are still coming true today in the lives of His followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report, celebrating this journey through America 250. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, of those who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. Religious freedom, a God-given right, grounded in the fact that human beings are made in God's image, endowed with reason, free will, and an eternal soul. This country was founded knowing that government had a duty to preserve the freedom for each person to follow his or her own conscience. And for this, we are grateful. Until next time, Alexander Alfano signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.
Every song we sing, every word we say.